This is a Charles Russell Speechlease podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the First Property Professionals podcast. I am Julie Sharp, and I'm a senior associate at law firm Charles Russell Speechlease. I'm a real estate lawyer, and I deal with a wide range of real estate transactions for both corporates and private clients. And I particularly specialise in acting on strategic land development. And as you may know, Charles Russell Speechlease Cheltenham and Savills Oxford offices jointly host a property professionals networking event in Cheltenham. It's very well attended by professionals throughout Gloucestershire and the whole of the West Country. And we usually host this event 3 or 4 times a year. Obviously, as we cannot hold our event at the moment, we thought this short podcast would be a great way to stay in touch with you and just to let you know about how we're operating in the current crisis, how we've been supporting our existing clients and new clients in these challenging market conditions, and looking at the main questions our clients are asking. And you may be sat at home, even in your offices or on a walk, lying in bed in the evening, if you're listening to this podcast, thinking, will it apply to me? And if you're interested in the property market generally, especially the development market, or just a bit nosy about how we're dealing at the moment, it's still at the end of lockdown, then you will be interested in this podcast, and we're pleased that you're listening. So the professionals who attend the Cheltenham Property Professionals events are mainly, but not exclusively, involved in development. And I'm very pleased to be joined today by Matt Davis from the development team at Savills from their Oxford office. Matt advises on many types of development opportunities, from mixed use schemes to strategic greenfield land for resi development. Matt's work is focused mainly acting for landowners, maximising land value for property owners and minimising the costs and risk. To start us off, Matt, how have the development team at Savills been dealing with the current crisis, and what are the main issues where you have been supporting clients?
So in terms of the development land side of things, we have been, after an initial period of adjustment, we soon settled into kind of business as usual, just not in the usual place, working with all our colleagues and clients in continuing land marketing campaigns that were already underway, securing offers and starting to proceed with legal agreements. Continuing on the valuation side, there was definitely a downturn in the amount of valuation requests coming through, particularly from the major banks, which we needed to kind of adjust in two ways. Firstly, adjust to non-inspection valuations and making sure that we were making use of all of the other information we could get about properties without physically visiting them, and then agreeing kind of material uncertainty clauses to go in our valuation work. So both the development land marketing side of things and valuation side has continued relatively unaffected, albeit, as I say, remotely working. Our new homes team, though, have been more affected, unable to do in-person viewings, sales centres closed, etc. So they were more curtailed than we were. That said, there's been a real focus on virtual viewings, 360 fly-throughs, CGIs to really help them sell their products to customers who weren't able to physically visit sites in those couple of months.
And similarly here at Charles Russell Speechlease, again, with our lawyers, we've been able to work seamlessly from home. Our firm had invested quite strongly in IT over the last few years, so we've all been able to do that. Thank God they did. But it is estimated that up to 450,000 transactions were put on hold when the market went into the deep freeze during the outbreak. What are your views of the market pre-COVID lockdown? And what impact are you seeing on transactions that were put on hold and new transactions coming forward?
So in terms of pre-COVID, we had a really positive start to the new year, both in residential land and the new homes side of the business. We had a majority government stemming from the December elections and a fixed transition period around leaving the EU. So start of the year, very positive. Lots of appetite in both land and new homes, and thought we were in for a good stable year. Of course, March came along and threw that significantly and put the huge numbers of obviously residential transactions in terms of housing, new homes and secondhand, put those on hold for primarily physical reasons. And on the land side of things, land deals operate in a much slower time frame than residential housing sales. So deals that were moving through the agreement process, the legal process, have continued where possible. We've continued working with clients, with lawyers, with buyers and landowners to move towards exchanges. In some cases, we have exchanged quote unquote new deals in the lockdown period, with house builders remaining positive about the long-term prospects for the sites they're buying. But I think we also need to acknowledge that a good number of deals have been put on hold whilst house builders have been kind of waiting to see what the market reaction is when we open up, and indeed their funders and backers have been taking that view in some instances as well. In terms of the last 10 days of easing of restrictions, we've certainly seen the new homes market start to pick back up. All of those deals that were put on hold are now many of those deals are starting to flow through. But again, there's clearly a number that aren't proceeding or are being renegotiated as people see uncertainty in the market and perhaps personal circumstances change. And I think it's too early to say where transaction levels will end up compared to pre-COVID numbers. Savills Research will be giving us the bigger picture on that in the coming weeks. But there's certainly acknowledgement that there will be a phasing of a return to transaction levels that we might have seen early on this year.
And from the legal perspective, and I'm not in the conveyancing department for plot sales, but in the strategic land development transactions that I deal with, I think when the lockdown started, we were supporting our clients mainly on issues arising from the crisis. And that was changing quickly, rapidly on a daily basis, what issues we were dealing. So the position on force majeure was a big question to begin with. What are our clients' rights in terms of not being able to deliver on the contracts? Can they claim under force majeure? Timing issues in terms of cash flow. Cash is king. I mean, cash flow set challenges over the last 2 months from the lack of sales, from the lack of rent collection, the pressures on rent collection. There was a flurry of inquiries, particularly contract inquiries we were dealing with. And then that sort of people began to relax more, it seems, as the lockdown went on. There was less change in the position. So we were just supporting our clients, seeing what could be done, looking into contract terms and generally being there. But in terms of transactions, those we were already dealing with that still are progressing. There's obviously the demand in the market there that was there pre-lockdown. So it'll be interesting to see how that does change if there is a recession. But certainly we have just been continuing. So last week, the government, of course, released certain measures to recover the UK housing market amid this pandemic. So estate agents are now reopening, viewings are taking place, removal firms have restarted, and this is mainly to get those transactions that were put on hold during the pandemic through. Where are you now, Matt? What can and can't you do?
Well, certainly on the new home side, as I understand this, I'm not working there day to day, but speaking to colleagues, effectively we can do everything that we did before, but with added safety measures in place and clearly a reduced capacity. There'll be fewer viewings, fewer site visits, fewer sort of show home visits that we can pack into any given day. So that's being supplemented with virtual viewings and a renewed focus on CGIs or video walkthroughs of new build properties. As I say, we're definitely back to doing what we've always done, but in a much reduced capacity. So I think that reduced capacity sort of comes through in many ways at the moment, both the ability to get people around properties, the ability to move people physically when those transactions go through, and indeed house builders' production will be reduced in capacity as they adopt the required safety measures on sites in the coming months. And I'm sure we'll see all sorts of new ways of working, particularly in the construction sector, responding to this. They've been used to building a house in a certain way, in a certain fashion, in a certain conveyor belt style before, and they'll need to find ways of making it more efficient whilst still keeping the distancing measures that seem to be in place for some time to come.
Yeah, and it's incredible and quite exciting, really, to think about what changes might come out of this. And for us, there was very little we as lawyers couldn't do. We had the IT in place, but in terms of signing of deeds in particular, it took some time for the Land Registry to bring forward adapting their requirements on signing and allowing electronic signing of deeds and producing guidance on that, which has now come out over the last few weeks. But yes, again, virtual site visits we've been doing, the Zoom meetings, webinars. Yeah, but we can fully operate on the legal side, actually, which is quite pleasing. One area where we have seen issues in recent weeks relates to valuations. And we've had a number of inquiries and questions on this coming through on our contracts. So the RICS have recommended that market uncertainty clauses be included in every valuation. And obviously there are issues in finding market comparables during this time. Matt, what are the challenges you see regarding valuations at the moment?
I mean, you've kind of touched on the key issue, this sort of uncertainty and vacuum of evidence. I mean, valuations are always, by their nature, kind of backwards looking, historic. They're based on evidence of sales of similar property that has happened in the recent past, and then translating those across to the subject property to take a view on the value of the property that you're particularly looking at. In quote unquote normal times, you would expect that historic evidence would be reflective of the immediate and near future, but we clearly have a lot of uncertainty at the moment, and lots of research firms, including Savills, putting their forecasting skills to good use to try and look at where they think the market will go as we come out of this enforced and a very artificial shutdown that's been occurring over the last couple of months. And I mean, one thing to say is that, you know, this is very different to previous kind of events that have massively impacted the valuation business. The global financial crash in the late thousands was very much around a lack of liquidity, a lack of funding, lack of capital. This is very different. This is almost self-imposed shutdown. So there's very few, if any, precedent to base future projections on. So as you say, we've been doing valuations as before, looking at historic evidence up to March 2020, gathering any more recent evidence, if available, given the very low levels of transactions that actually occurred during end of March, April, and the majority of the early part of May, and placing this market uncertainty clause in to sort of flesh out the fact that we are in this vacuum. I think we're now in a period where things will be changing very rapidly over the coming weeks and couple of months, where market evidence does start to flow again, and we can really see where any change has occurred between pre-COVID and post-lockdown markets. The Savills market research at the moment is predicting 5 to 10% drops in value of residential property across the UK on average for the short term. And clearly there'll be regional variations there. We'd expect our local markets to fare perhaps better than that average. And the real interesting thing is, how long will the recovery be to get us back to pre-COVID levels? The latest Savills research indicates we're still standing behind our kind of medium-term prediction of 15% growth between 2019 and 2024. It's just that the growth curve between those two points are going to look very different than we originally anticipated. But there'll be a slew of research documents coming out in the coming weeks and months as that market evidence returns.
Yeah. And on the strategic land transaction side, we have been advising clients on options and promotions. And obviously with promotion agreements, there is that flexibility on the timing of valuations there. But with options, there often isn't. There's a fixed window by which you have to serve a price notice and the valuation has to be carried out. And the question during lockdown is parties renegotiating that window and agreeing to change the timings, but who knows what's going to happen in the short, medium, long term. So there are concerns there. And where valuations have to go ahead during lockdown under a fixed time period under an option agreement, then they may do. And I just want to say to anyone listening, if you please let us know if you've experienced this type of situation and what the outcome may have been. And we could maybe go into it in more detail in a future podcast.
Just to cut in there, I'm chatting to colleagues who are involved in option negotiations at the moment, and they kind of seems to fall into two camps. One where the option, the valuation date is fixed and the the notice had already been served before lockdown. So we're basically discussing value pre-COVID, which to us, particularly if we're acting for the landowner, is really helpful. With others, we are on a kind of a rolling valuation date. The valuation date is the date on which the value is agreed. And that's proving extremely challenging in a constantly evolving market at the moment.
Yeah, sure. And are you seeing signs of the market opening up for business again? What are the early signs of recovery?
Well, I suppose the land market, as I said, didn't really go away as much as the new homes market did. We were still transacting on properties, although there's a much lower base number of transactions to sort of compare that against. But the land market is starting to hot up again, I suppose, as house builders do get over this downing of tools, picking up back of tools and getting back onto construction sites. They're now able to focus on their land pipeline again. So we're getting renewed discussions going with house builder land teams. So I think the appetite is still there for land. The supply and demand mismatch that has been supporting that land market for many years is still there. The challenge is how we get deals done in this sort of relatively short-term period of uncertainty. And what I can see and what I'm seeing already is perhaps more innovative ways of looking at value capture related to actual sales prices that are achieved down the line. So landowners taking an element of risk in terms of market recovery with the house builder who's acquiring their site. I think overage clauses and overage agreements will become significantly perhaps more important than they have been previously. Previously they've been very much icing on the cake. An overage agreement now may well end up making up a significant proportion of land value coming forward, because at the moment it's difficult for a house builder to peg where their values are likely to end up in that immediate build period.
That's really interesting what you said about overage. Actually, I agree. I do think that probably is the way it will develop. And what do you think will be the legacy left by this crisis on the property market? Are there new ways of working and doing deals that you think are here to stay?
I think, first couple of points about, I think all businesses, I think, looking at the moment, there's a lot of discussion about less rigid office working. You know, even when distancing measures do fall away, are people going to be used more to working at home and want that flexibility to be in the office fewer hours? There's a lot of positives for teams being together physically, interacting, and indeed different teams across the business interacting in an office environment. But there's could well be, you know, less rigid office working, less requirement for space, and more innovative ways of meeting. I think there's definitely going to be fewer face-to-face meetings. Video calls will become the new conference call, and we'll use them more. And it will make us think more about when we do need to have a face-to-face meeting. You know, is it needed? Is it productive? In terms of property, I think there's a lot of discussion at the moment with house builders about how they flex either their housing mix or their internal space design with this renewed focus on home working and indeed outside space as well. People are spending far more time at home than they have been previously, and finding that maybe their space doesn't work for them as well as it could or as well as they thought it did. So there's definitely going to be looking at housing design. And then on a larger scale, again, our research team are looking closely now about different patterns of demand and value in different geographical areas. You know, is demand and value going to be focused less on traditional commercial centres as people find that they might be in the office fewer days per week in the long term? So maybe they're willing to travel further if they're only doing it 2 or 3 days a week than if it's a daily commute. So it's still very, very early days as to understand what this legacy is going to be. But there's going to be a lot of thinking and planning and change over the coming years as people sort of come out of this very interesting time that we're in at the moment.
Maybe they'll all be coming to work with us in Cheltenham and Oxford out of the London market. Now they've all learned, people have learned they can work.
Potentially, but yeah, very much so. I mean, it's very
maybe
interesting.
We'll have more office space for people to join because we don't need as much office space anymore. Yeah, it's going to be interesting how we work, and crisis is always the greatest catalyst for change. So, yeah, watch this space. And I think that's all the questions we want to cover today. But anyone listening, please stay tuned for our next edition. and let us know if you have any questions or topics you would like to hear about. We are hoping to be joined in our next podcast by Close Brothers, who were due to be sponsoring this year's Property Professionals events. They obviously provide tailored development finance, commercial loans and bridging finance to house builders and developers. We're hoping that Mark Ryan, the manager at Close Brothers, will be joining us. So if you have any specific questions for the finance side of development, please do get them to us. We'd love to hear from you. And otherwise, thank you very much for joining us today.
This is a Charles Russell Speechleys podcast.